So the it appears here, of course, in the Mishnah. Without the Rishonim don't say much about it. The main Mishnah, of course, is the Mishnah in the beginning of Perek Habona, where we're told that Habona can be kolshu. Habona kama yivne v'hei chayev. Habona kolshu. Okay. On the one hand, this Mishnah seems to expand the parameters of Bona by saying that it's called Shehu. On the other hand, when we continue reading the Mishnah, we see that Tamasates and Makav Patish, Ma'atzad, Hakodeh Kol Shehu, these are all Chayim as well. It sounds like the Mishnah has made a transition from Bona, it's not explicit, but from Bona to Makav Patish. So on the one hand, the Mishnah is expansive by establishing Kol Shehu. On the other hand, it seems like Misates and Makav Patish and Kodeach are not Bona, so that requires some explanation. Also, the Mishnah, Zeh Klal, Kol Osa Malacha Malacha Miskayemes B'Shabbos Chayev. Question is whether or not that refers back to Bona, and if so, only to Bona, or that's a Klal in all of the Shabbos, and if so, what's that based on? So the Mishnah on Habona really raises more questions, I would say, than it more questions than it solves. If we look at the various Mekoros, I would say three approaches emerge as the prominent ones, prominent candidates for being an explanation of Malacha's Bona. One is that Bona is focused on the Maisa, or the, by which I mean the act itself, Maisa Umnus. If it needs to be on this, the tziur of chalakim, the chizuk, the chibur, these also might be different, but the act which integrates and creates some sort of new object by putting pieces together. Whether or not the binyan is more than a composite of parts is still not clear, but the point is that the act of being mitzarev, different pieces, creating a greater whole, that's one possible explanation of Bona. Another possibility is that we're not so much focused on the act of Bona, and especially the dibuk or tziruf halakim, as much as we are the shaping of the object. It's more of a tzura, creating a tzura's binyan, structuring something, forming and shaping it. Maybe you don't even have to add anything to the chalas. So you have an object which is fully formed, but you want to reshape it. Would that be Bona as well? Is it more about the external form than about adding to or creating? I think these are two important issues to look at in the context of Bona. The third is whether or not there isn't some notion of a binyan. In addition to the question of being a Maisabona and being Tsar Tsura, if you will, creating a Tsura, whether there isn't a Chetza of Binyan, and that in particular might be limited, doesn't have to be, but it might be limited to Mechubar. It's possible that you can be Bona in many things, but only something that is Mechubar is a Binyan. The connotation of permanence and of mechubar, being substantial, is something that may be implied by binyan. If you look at different Gemaras, you really do get different impressions. In a way, just looking at the Gemara here on Kufay Sumit Beis, already we're exposed at least to some of the different perspectives in Bona. The Gemara, immediately, Eliezer, if you mind, you can read the first quickly, asks where the Kol Shehu comes from. In Bona. Yeah. So the first possibility is Chafira Bekarka, which isn't so much about Chibur, Yitziras, Chalakim at all, but it is about Binyan. It's Mechubar, it's Binyan. Kosis immediately jumps in. Go ahead, Eliezer. Yeah, so Tosis is very important to Tosis on two levels. Number one, Tosis gives an insight into the whole issue of Shiurim. And Tosis argues that generally Shiurim are about Chashivus HaChetza. When it comes to Hotzah, it's about Chashivus HaChetza. And therefore there's no need for Makar. Tosis points out something that, you know, at first glance, we would have missed maybe, but it's an interesting Hara. Rarely, if ever, aside from Bonet, does the Gemara ever ask, how do you know the Shiur of Kol Shiur? The Gemara just gives the Shiur. You don't have to derive it from the Mishkan. That's because, normally, Shiurim are about Chashivas. Here, Tosis is saying, the role of Shiurim have to do with Binyan, Chetzah Shel Binyan. Lo Chashiv Binyan Kol Shiur. The Chiddush is, one would have in Hotza, you need a chetza chashuva. You don't need a makar for that. If it's chashuv, it's chashuv. But when it comes to bone, the shiur needs to be established by the Mishkan because there's a component here of binyan. And one would have thought that there's also a thing with the binyan culture. We need to establish in the Mishkan that we recognize a binyan culture. So I think two things are happening here. Number one, Tosis is telling us about regular shiurim and the shiur in this particular case. That in itself is interesting. It harkens, you know, us back to the discussion in the Rambam especially. We see that the Hilchas Chinuch, occasionally the Raibid, takes the Rambam to task, you know, when it comes to his doctrine of shiurim. Essentially, you know, what they're always saying is, you know, all these shiurim should be the same. They should all be derived from Hotzah. The mentality that underlies that is what Tosis is saying here. Namely, the shiur is about chashivos achefza. And if it's chashiv enough for Hotzah, then it's chashiv enough for everything else, whether it's bishul or tzoveya or bone, whatever the case may be. That's what the Ravid asks in a few places. And that's what the Michas Chinuch asks, I say, even more. But what Tosis is telling us is that there might be more than one type of shiur. There's a shiur which is a shiur sachetza, and then there's a shiur which could be a shiur in the maisa, or the chetza of the malacha, not the chetza of the meaning the object, but the chetza of the malacha. In the context of bishul, we were suggesting, right, that the shiur is defined by the fact that Rambam in particular holds that bishul is a process. And it's a process which is machshir objects for use in other processes. It's by its nature intermediate. So for that reason, the shiur depends on what the next stage or step is. It doesn't depend on what you're doing right now. But the point is that Tosis opens this up by telling us that not every shiur is a shiur in the chetza, sometimes it's a shiur in the chetza. Or the nature of the malacha. Well, that is referring to the maisa, or to the nature of the malacha. In this case, binyan. Sounds like it's a shiur in katzah shel binyan, but that's different than the object. And similarly, Tosis told us on Ayin, Tosis raised the question on Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, you know, why it is, lama, betor chafarish, lama pirish kan, uba'oreg, uba'tseh, uba'tofer, uba'koseh, Shiur Tvemi Bishar. We discussed it at the time, right? The Magen Avos, according to the Michas Chinuch's answer, which is that you know, some shiurim are just part of the definition of the malacha. They're not just shiurim for chiyuv and p'tur purposes. So the point is, there are different types of shiurim. So Tosis is important for that generally, but more specifically, Tosis is telling us that there's a concept of binyan here, and that surely is important. Now, the Gemara goes on to reject this. Go ahead, Eliezer. Which means it's going to rust.
Yeah.
And so what does that mean?
They would make the little feet of the, or the little base of the,
of the stove. So it sounds like that's quite a different perspective on both, at least in the classic case.
The first case was binyan b'mechuvar, right? And it wasn't so much the act of ona which was impressive, and maybe there is that component too. But as I said, it was, you know, creating a binyan b'mechuvar. The second perspective, A, seems like it relates to Caleb, and it's about Yitzir of the Hebrew. These are not mutually exclusive, but I'm just saying, if you look at the classic case. What's interesting is that the Meiri at least denies part of it. Meiri says that this is Mechubar too. Pashtus is Polish, right? Just creating the base for a little oven. Meiri says no, he builds it in the ground. Meiri did not like the idea that the source for Kol Shehu could be Kalin, or maybe more important, Eina Mechubar. That's an important perspective too. But the simple reading is, no, it's Yitzir of a Chibor, you're creating a new Kli. What's the third possibility? He doesn't like this again. Rav Achi Bar Yaakov Amar, in Anias. So what is that?
So this is actually even a much bigger expansion than the others. I mean, you know, even though it's a Kol Shehu, being a co-fair, a Guma is really creating a binyan. Bikarka. Creating the legs of the stove. All right. One can see that as bonin. Here, one could have argued that this is, looks a lot more like Makom Patish than bonin. And even if it isn't Makom Patish, so it's aesthetic, it's fixing, it's milui, it's tikkun. It hardly seems like it's bonin, right? It's not functional. It's just, either way, it's aesthetic. Again, the Eri says that this is mechubar. I think what he's trying to indicate, we'll see other Rishonim the same as well, that outside of the context of mechubar, this would not be considered bonin. If this was done in a kli and not in mechubar, it wouldn't be considered making an improvement or enhancing. The binyan, the structure, that might be bona, where the same action in a kli, this does not qualify. Maybe they're, even if you were to assume that they're yesh binyan v'kalim, but this kind of binyan v'kalim wouldn't exist, it would be considered maybe makom patish of that. That's an important perspective as well. Okay, so already we have in the three candidates for the source for Kol Shehu, we have slightly different emphases when it comes to this question. Yerushalmi discusses a related question, namely, Eliezer? Binyan al Gabe Kli. What is Yerushalmi interested in finding out?
What the example?
Right, not where the Kol Shehu comes from, but where is the binyan in the Mishkan? The Pnei Yeshua and others point out that it's just interesting that no one ever said the building of the Aron, the building of the menorah, the building of the Shulchan. Right? You might say because they'd been in Bekalim. But it's just fascinating that those were not suggested by anybody as the candidates for Bonin. But the Yerushalmi asks this question, and the Yerushalmi says that the case is, so what is the case?
He says there's a permanent corruption in the Adam.
Krushim, connecting the Krushim and the Adonim. Correct. So that is, a second, towards the end of Zion Base. Right before the, Ma binyan hayu b'mishkan. So again, this is very fascinating. The connecting of the Krushim and the Adonim. So the Yerushalmi asks all sorts of questions. below Shah Isa? Wasn't that just, that's not a Dabra Miskayim, that's only the Shah, right? So this is very interesting. Amar Yossi, the Kivin Shoyichonim Nosim Al Piyadibur Kimishi Liyola. Very fascinating, it fits in with the Parshas HaShavua. Until the Rabbanu Shalom told them to move, that's where they were. You don't look at it as if, you know, they're on the move, and now they're settling, and just telling them how long till the next move. Right? Al pi Hashem yachanu, al pi Hashem yisau, means that that's the month here. And when you're in one state, because of Sivui Hashem, I don't get to say the Ashkafa today, because I have to run right afterwards, so I guess that's to do. But al pi Hashem yachanu, al pi Hashem yisau, means that you're so dependent upon Dvar Hashem, wherever the Dvar Hashem is, that's Dvar Hashem, until you have the next month here. Then the also fascinating exchange. So the Rishami says, what's the next line, Ryan?
The next line is...
Well, what would be the next line? Even if you didn't read the Rishami.
No, I was going to say that by Hachem, you have the same thing, by Lechon Panim, and you would say Chutz, and you also had it by Chotes.
That's true, especially the protest. But what's going to be the next question of Al Pi Hashem Yisrael, Al Pi Hashem Yachan? What's going to be the question? Amar Rav Yossi Rabun, Mekiven Shevtichan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shemachnis L'Aretz Kemishu L'Shah Hada Amra Binyan L'Shah Binyan. That's how you read it, question by not a question, but it's fascinating exchange. On the one hand, Al Pi Hashem Yachan, Al Pi Hashem Yisrael. That's all there is. The last thing that the Rebbe Shalom tells you, that's all there is. On the other hand, the whole idea of being Bamidbar has the Rebbe Shalom himself set up the framework, which is that this is all just a temporary. These are stages before Knesset L'Eretz Yisrael. Knesset L'Eretz Yisrael was spoken about even in the Midbar, right? Many tzivuyim, the chala, the alparshios, are what's going to happen after Knesa La'aretz are spoken about in the Midbar. So if you're anticipating, even as you're in the Midbar, Knesa La'aretz Yisrael, that's not a stira to tzivuy Hashem, on the contrary, it's part of it. So that dialectic, I think that's a very interesting discussion in Rishami, is this considered l'sha'a or not? And it seems like one day in Rishami, you're not going to be, it's l'sha'a. But only l'sha'a because the Al Pi Hashem Yachanu V'Yisau is overridden in part by the tzivui itself of anticipating Knesset La'aretz. That's just a very interesting exchange. Anyways, back to Bona. From a Bona point of view, there's also an interesting question here. The Rashi, for example, says that Dabar HaNiskayim means Dabar Shalem, as perceived by others. Rashi makes it somewhat subjective. Not something that, you know, is permanent necessarily, but things that people don't tamper with, they leave alone. The Tosfos Rid disagrees with Rashi, at least in the Madura Kama, and says, Dabar HaMiskayim is an objective definition, something that if you leave it there, it'll literally endure. So this discussion in Yerushalmi, what's considered enduring and what is considered temporary, especially in the context of Tzivui Hashem, should be seen not only in terms of the dialectic of the Midbar and Ba'aretz, but also in terms of what Dabar HaMiskayim really is. Okay. Either way, Yerushalmi goes on to say that the problem of L'shah is not the only problem. Hada Amra Afilu Min Atzad. Hada Amra Afilu Nasan Al Gabe Dabar Acher. Hada Amra Binyan Al Gabe Kelim. It seems like there are three other kulas, or the kulas, chomers, I guess, here, with expanding Malachas Bona. Number one, it's Min Atzad, which probably means, according to some of the Parshim anyway, means that it's artificial, it's made up of pieces. Pieces that fit into each other. It's not a regular, ordinary binyan. Moreover, It's al gabe davar acher. It's not binyan bekarka. It's al gabe davar acher. You're piling one binyan on top of another. And thirdly, it's binyan al gabe kelim. So then Yerushalmi answers, binyan adonim kekarka. So the carbon eda here has two deos. When the Yerushalmi says binyan al gabe adonim kekarkahim, does that answer only the last question? Binyan al gabe kelim? Or does it also give the answer for min atzad? Does that take care of min atzad and al gabe davar acher? Meaning it's not considered min atzad al kidin, and it's not considered al davar acher because it's mechubar. That would be very interesting, and it would point to a certain perspective, again, in binyan and mechubar in bodeh. Either as a second track, there are two types of bodehs, or this is always bodeh, bodeh b'mechubar. If it's bodeh b'mechubar, so all these other things don't come into play. Or that's what all bodeh is, the binyan of adonim, in which case, certainly kelim would be out, but not only kelim, but things like ochlim and adam would be problematic as well. So that's two deos in the, what exactly the maskana is, there's two deos in the Karman Eida, some of the other Maharshim, but it's certainly possible to say that Lahalacha, either Bone is limited to Mechubar, or at least that Binyan B'Mechubar is different. We evaluate the requirements of Bone differently if it is indeed B'Mechubar. This idea that binyan b'mechubar may be different is reflected in other makoros as well. The Rambam on Sadiheyu ben Aleph is a good example of this. If you don't mind, Eliezer, just quickly, the Gemara in Sadiheyu. Okay. So again, Godelas might be Mishum Oreges. Right? And so let's see that it also may be Mishum Bona. Go ahead. Yeah. So basically, the Gemara is saying that Godeles is binyan, and the shayach binyan ba'adam. Okay. Continue. So Megabe, Mechabe, and Merabeitz are all Chayiv. Now here's the Machlokas of Belazar and the Chachamim. It's not perfectly clear, these are the Machlokas of Rishonim, whether the Chachamim disagree about Mechabe and Merabeitz and Megabe. Or if these Mechabe and Merabeitz and possibly Megabe, or they accept all of them. And they only argue about Rode and so on. Go ahead. I'm a rabbi. Yes, we discussed, right? Avchalas Dvash. Correct. This we discussed when we did Kotzer. Go ahead.
Okay. Amar Shara. Shara Zilcha Mikuza. Amar Hamamai. Amar Rabbanan. Tel Asila Shriya Humus.
Oh.
Kacha Leitra Humus.
So it sounds like, this is where it sounds like that what? The Mechabe and Amarabe is Midin.
Both.
Right? Doesn't Zubar didn't say it explicitly before, but okay. The Osila Shvuye Gumos is connected to Mechabin and Rabbeids. Go ahead.
Rabba Tosva, Ashakel of Mina, the Skyr, Mehava of Anuba, Martishishi Vedu Rabba, Ashkel of Ashi, becomes that Mehava Amalei, Losal of Amar, Mahad, the Taina Rosso Rabbeids, as Ace of Shabbos, maybe a Rebu Malay Mayan, the Rokhi is Hanab, the Zabso, Yod, the Zabso, Rabba, the Zabso,
Yeah, it's a kind of a legal fiction. He's always washing his hands. He's a cleanliness addict, right? So he ends up, benefiting in terms of the cleanliness of his house as well. Right? He does everything in a different corner. Go ahead. I didn't know that trick. Okay. Okay, so it sounds like the Gemara isn't explicit. So it sounds like Mechabin and Merabeitz and Megabin. For the Bavli, it sounds like Mechabin, Merabeitz, and Megabin are all Bishum both. On the other hand, this continuation of the Gemara, and it's certainly Mechabin and Merabeitz is connected with Ashvuye Gumos. On the other hand, the end of the Gemara, which says that. Or even the Sri Lanka of Shimon Shari Pidlakatkila, that's problematic, right? There are two things. Number one, we don't really know whether the Chacham disagree with Rabbi Eliezer about Mechabin and Rabbeids and Megabin. Number two, we need to understand the end where the Gemara says that according to Rabbi Shimon, everything would be fine anyway. Right?
Right? Isn't that just
a name of Rabbi Shimon's Gabin? Oh, but so the Shah Bali tells us as, don't check the Gabin. Tulsa ask, then what do they ask Eliezer? What's the reason? Because Dov Shimon is Gavin. But if that's the case, why isn't it a Psik Resha? Right? So what are they saying? Exactly what you're saying.
Shay,
yeah, quickly.
I'm
a Chabad Rabbits. Table of Korchamayr with the law of Psikresha. Meaning he's saying Mimonavshach. If it's a Psikresha, then what's the end of the Gemara? If it's not a Psikresha, then where's the bone in Meravitz and Mechavit? Go ahead. You can see it's a little bit doha, but Tosfos is in a bit of a bind here. The Gemara seems to link it to Dov Shein and Miskavein, and if it's linked to Dov Shein and Miskavein, so why should anybody ever say that you're chai? Okay, so Tosfos ends up saying that the machlokas in the Gemara about mechabin and merabeitz, whether it's chai or not, is a machlokas in he doesn't say the word metzius, but it's a machlokas whether it's considered a psik resha or not. That's strange. You do have that in Rishonim now and then, that they're forced to say such things. But obviously it's not an appealing thing to say that the machlokas is what something is a psik resha. Now, of course, if you're going to say it already, there are still two ways to say it. One is to say that it's really a practical question, which is really unattractive. The other is to say that the question is about where you draw legally, where the line is for psik resha, right? This gets back to Ephraim's almost outraged comment of, when was it? ago or a month and a half ago, where he said something like, you know, well, secretion doesn't mean it has to happen, or something like that. Or, what did you say exactly? Am I close to? Right. So, as I pointed out then, according to some Rishonim, or many Rishonim, that's exactly what it means. And as if you have, then we discussed it, right? Bikin Bahataya, you know, Miyoshila Gamre in a month, so even the classic cases of Sikresha, you know, which is presumably, you know, 100%. And obviously, if something is, you know, 70%, you're not gonna, probably not going to say it's Sikresha. But what if something is, you know, 95%? And especially, what if something can be prevented? You could do it, you know, you could get this resolved, but you could prevent the malacha, but only consciously. Right? Is that a psikresha? Well, that we know. That's Machlokes HaRishonim. That's the Rashi in Zvachim, and that's the Rashi. I'm sorry, that's the Rashi in Zvachim. That's Shilti Giborim that we discussed as well. And that's the sugya of the Bikiyim Bahataya, according to some Rishonim, and that's the sugya of Psachim Daf Chaf Hei. You know, the Efshar Kol Mechavim, the Efshar Kol Mechavim, the discussion of the Rosh and the Ram Chalav that we went into. So the point is that there is room to say that there is an argument about what is Psikresha without it being a factual argument. The argument can be what, you know, either what is the cutoff point in terms of probability, you know, 99%, 100%, 98%, 90%, and etc. Or whether something reaches the cutoff point, or whether something that is either preventable or doable in an alternative way, where there's no malacha, is that considered psikresha? So there remain options to explain a machlokas, whether something is or isn't a psikresha, that don't make it exactly a machlokas in mitzvah. But the point is, Tosis is forced to say all of this because the sugya is difficult. Okay, why am I telling all of you, why am I telling you this now? Because there's another view of the Rishonim. What's the other view in the Rishonim? Simcha Yisrael. See? Brian? Michael? Yura? Does the Baruch Kovos come?
No.
Oh, really? Now I feel badly. Okay. I faxed the Baruch Kovos to the Reed's office.
She said that they didn't come through.
They what?
She said that it didn't come through.
It didn't come through? I mean, it didn't come through.
Nothing,
no
piece
ever
came out of the
facts. Really? Ah, okay. In that case, I apologize. Okay. I mean, this is what it was. So, if anybody wants a souvenir or. okay, so
somebody
I'll.
Somebody in Israel that wants me to email them.
What?
Somebody in Israel wants an email of it.
Of particularly Bono?
No, he wants all the Marimakulos from the entire half the semester. There's another person who wants all the Marimakulos from this semester. So.
Oh, okay. If you make a copy, then make me a copy, too.
And I'll return it to the Rebbe. Just
okay. You know, but if somebody has a file of all the Marimakulos, let them make me a copy, too, because I don't have them. I mean, I have them somewhere, but they're on scribbles here and there. It's good to have. Anyways, okay, so I didn't realize that nobody had the... this was sent... I think I sent it once on Sunday, and I sent it again on Monday. Okay. Anyways, the Ramban al-Attar, it's important, so I'll just maybe summarize. The Ramban al-Attar, I mean, you saw the Yerushalmi on your own? Very good. It's better that way, actually. Okay. Definitely more impressive and better. So the Ramban of the Sugya on Sadi Hayyamun Aleph says that that's not the Pshat in the Gemara. Because he doesn't like this idea that the machlokas revolves around whether it is or isn't a psikresha. So he says the everybody agrees it's not a psikresha. The issue is whether or not it isn't really a shvuye gumos in the normal sense of the word. The question is whether or not even tikkun hakarka, tikkun mechubar, isn't that bona? Is that perhaps bona in its own right? This is why I'm quoting this here. It seems that the Ramban has a standard for bona v'karka, the mechubar, that is different than the standard of bona for other things.
Yeah.
It
will get to that.
In Karg also,
yes. Sorry? That might only be in Caleb and not in Karg.
Right. I'm saying that.
Yeah, could be.
I'm not sure what the other regular case would be according to those whether they're in Karg or Karg.
Right, we'll get to that. But right, it could be. The truth is this could also be the Pshat in the Rambam. The Magen Avraham, which is also the Baruch Kamos, but we didn't get. Shinu Din L'Shinu Dal and Yosef Karg Gimel discusses the apparent stira in the Rambam about Kodeach, you know, Bilul, or the Kli. When do you say that that's Makom Patish, Bilul Tarnagolim? When is that Makom Patish, and when is that Bonin? So the Magen Avraham says that the answer for the Rambam is, if it's Mechuba Lekarka, it's always Bonin. If it's not Mechuba Lekarka, it's Makom Patish. So again, objectively, it's the same action. You bore a hole in the hole. Or something, you make a hole. Pesach, it's Machnis, Motzi, Avir, whatever the case may be. Why should we distinguish between Mechubar and Talosh? Apparently, according to the Rambam, you know, Bone, the Mechubar, Binyan, Toda, which is a Binyan, is different than enhancing the Binyan, just like the Ramban's Mechabit and Merabits, even if it's in Dashkuye Gumo, is just different. Then, when there's no chetzah shel binyan or mechubar, and you're trying to be yoser or bonya, clearly just assess them. Now, when these are two types of binyan, or the common denominator is, you know, the like you've seen other times, the stature and so on of what's taking place here, is that sometimes it's defined by the impact on the chetzah, in other cases it's defined by the action, or you know, there could be compensating, in other words, mechanisms. That I think is open to question. I prefer the second rather than the first. But the fact is that according to the Ramban, according to the Magen Avraham, at least in the Rambam, according to the Tosas Rid as well, maybe there's no need for Maisa Umnes, as I pointed out before, Bin Mechubar. There could be that Mechubar is just different. It's Binyan, and therefore its status is different. In terms of the makar of bonin in the Mishkan, so according to the Yerushalmi, then it's krasha magabi adanim. The halamina, this was important for minatzad and all the other things, as we point out in Askana, we're saying that it's adanim, magabi adanim is considered magabi karka. And as I pointed out, the carbon eda has then the two deos. What does that help you with regard to minatzad? Does it help with regard to miskayim, edo miskayim? Al Gabe Kalim. So in light of what I'm saying now, you know, why would it help you? So either because Bona is only these cases, only this case, and therefore there's no evidence of anything else, or Yerushalmi itself is trying to say that where you have a binyan, where you have a chubar, so these other things don't matter. They only matter where you have a standalone Bona based on the Maisa binyan, not the structure, not the chetza. Anyway, these are issues to look into. The Amnezer, in his tshuvas, doesn't think that that's the makar, at least according to the Bavli, at all. He doesn't think it's krashim agabi adanim. He thinks that putting up the ohalim was actually the binyan. That's also interesting, because the again, there's a kind of a mivneh, you know, create a structure in that way, but it's not like actual building. Okay, hopefully we'll get back to that if we have time. The Rambam considers the Ohel Kavua, just to contrast it with the Avnezer, to be a Tolda, not to be the Av. On the other hand, the Rambam does give prominence to the Gabin, implying that Dibuk, the Chizuk, the Tziruf, the Chalakim is important for Binyan. The Rambam does seem to have either two tracks or, again, this compensation. Either the binyan of davar hamechubar, enhancing davar hamechubar, or dibuk v'yitzira. These seem to be the Rambam's two perspectives. Okay. Some of the controversial cases of boneh reflect these different perspectives as well. One, of course, is metzadeh. If you don't mind, go back to kofesu and deis for a minute.
Okay. Yes,
Yeah. So this idea that you can have binyan without cement, without the tina, emerges clearly from the Baal. The question is whether or not anybody argues with it. So here again, Aramakov said I thought I gave. So the Ramban, Bali Tosa seemed to take it as a double pasha, that this is across the board. Everybody agrees that the tzadeh evan, just putting an evan in place, even if it's not actually cemented in, would be considered bona. Both on the bottom, in terms of ba'afar, and on top, which is I think even a bigger chiddush, you're just adding, you're being bosif lebinyan. But you're not actually doing any dibuk, any yitzira at all. Okay, so take the brick off, or the stone off, yeah.
Just now, I'm interested in England, there's a very old trade of dry stone walling, where very firm and steady walls are built in an easement at all.
So really? And what do they do?
They separate fields and roads and that sort of thing. They select stones at the correct size and they put them all together.
They're just placed in for the pressure of the...
and they stay for a long time.
Right. But the point is that you could remove each piece.
So one by one.
Right.
Sure, but it'll be a job to...
No. Right. So it's interesting. It's a very interesting perspective. I appreciate it. But is that what they mean by... It doesn't sound like... That might be the bottom. You know, Mitzadik Ba'afar, which is the foundation anyway, so that'd be...
It sounds like a definition which was not familiar
to the Tzad. I'm not so sure. I mean, say the bottom of the Afar is something... You know, also, you could just move the Afar, but it's the fact that it's so firm. What I think there's a difference between the tatav and the ilah, though. The ilah does not sound like what you're describing. Because the ilah sounds like you're just, you know, adding rows of bricks. And it's not particularly, you know, you're not using, you know, this pressure. Again, you are using some pressure to keep it in, but it doesn't sound like it's, you know, anything close to, you know, an exact science or even close. It might be my syllabus, but... again, the point is that would we say such a thing outside of Bechuba? Would we say such a thing at all? The Gemara has the bottom with the afar and the top alone. So again, the point of Bali tells us, this doesn't seem like anybody argues. The Ramban has two deos arguing that that it's an argument. The Ramban says, no, there are chokim who think that the top in particular, maybe also the bottom, is not bona. Yeah. Exactly. The Rambam.
Exactly.
So the Rambam may have learned that you're chayim, and remember this whole mission anyway is, you know, back and forth between bona and makom patish. So I don't think it's a pashas, but the Rambam, Rabbeinu Chananel, and the Meiri, all three, interpret that mitzadeid belitit is makom patish. Again, that's a little bit of a chiddush. We were supposed to speak Thursday about Makom HaPatish. That's a bit of a chiddush in Makom HaPatish because it's not necessarily the Gemara. Although, it's not a chiddush if you don't sheet the Sarada. She says that Makom HaPatish doesn't have to necessarily be the Gemara. Some of Shonim think it does. But I think Rambam didn't like it because the Rambam really was very, you know, devoted to the notion of Chibur. And even in the context of binyan, I guess he required chibur. One could have said that, you know, maybe dafka, where there already is a binyan, being mosif ala binyan, doesn't require chibur. It's interesting also that in the Babli here has echad nosin, how's it go? Echad nosin is even echad nosin is atit, and nosin is atit chayim. The Yerushalmi. Reading before, seems to have an argument with Rabbi Yossi. Funny, echad maybe it's even echad maybe it's atit, and maybe it's atit chayim like our Babli. And then we say Rabbi Yossi Omar shneim chayim. So Rabbi Yossi even below tid binyan. Question, probably. Hakolodim shenasim atit tchila ve'achak nasim es even shu chayim. Habadoi sheyishe v'sa'evet b'rosh ha'dimus chayev. Again, it's hard to know how to read Yerushalmi, so that's always the problem, but you have to read the different parshim here. But it seems like at least this one day in Rabbi Yossi, or at least the Hanuman in Rabbi Yossi, that Echad Nosin is Eben, Echad Nosin is Atid, that the Nosin Ha'Eben would be Chayev even if it was first. And then the other day in Yerushalmi seems to be only to put the Tit first and then the Eben. Sorry?
I don't think I read that it was in views what that was going on. The Rabbanon. The Muda that you could be noosing the Eben.
Oh, be the Rabbanon in that case? Okay, good, that's fine. I guess the question would be whether the when Rabbi Yossi says Sarav Yossi, is it Sarav Yossi Eben Belo Tid Binyan or Sarav Yossi Eben Belo Tid Binyan? Depends on where you read the question. You're right. The next line Hakomodim is even the Chachamim. The Chachamim will say if you put Eben after the Tid. So then the Nosin is Eben will be Chayim. But as for Rabbi Yossi, does it left with a question mark or is it left with a statement? That would be important. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, what's Rabbi Yossi saying though? Because if you put the layer of Tit after the stone, so then...
I guess it would be Bodo could be part of the process. It sounds like he's saying if you only have the Eben, not talking about Dimus on top. So. If you just put Eben, then you don't put Tid, so you don't have a Chayiv for the Eben. But if you put Eben, then he puts Tid, then you're Chayiv. Again, we'll go back to the similar question we asked, that we showed that Mepharshim asked could be sure. I mentioned last time, maybe that should be Shnayim Shasu.
Right.
But it isn't two people putting down the Eben or two people putting the Tid. So if you look at Bonez, it can be, can Bonez, like we talked about in the Rambam Shita, about Bisho being a collaborative effort. So it can be collaborative in stages. And it can be collaborative in terms of people. Right? As long as they're not both doing the same thing. If it's they're both being Magus as as a Tavshil, or they're both, being Nosein as a R, both being Nosein as Aids, and that's Shnayim Shasu.
So you would have to put another layer of stone that went on top of the Tit through that.
If the guy just puts the Tit and the other guy then puts the Eben and the other one didn't put the Tit, then you're not gonna be high for the Eben.
No, but if there's no layer of Tit layer of Eben again after the Tit, how can the person be high? Tid is in preparation for the next layer.
No, but
Tid's
also
pulling together the.
Yeah, I think it also solidifies. It also holds together the end.
Oh, okay.
I guess there could be also some ways to do it, but the point is that one might have said, well, the Nosin is having to do anything. The Pasha sees the Nosin having to do anything, and the Nosin is a Tid. He's doing the vineyard. Rabbi Yossi's Kiddush is. That Echad Nosin is Eben, Echad Nosin is Atid, Shneim Chayavim. Whereas in our Gemara and Babli, and also Yerushalmi for the Chachamim, is the Nosin is Atid is Chayav. Because the Yerushalmi adds, the Nosin is Eben, Achar Atid, Hakomodim will be Chayav. That's one point in Yerushalmi. And then according to Rabbi Yossi, it sounds like even the person who puts the Eben before the Tid. So he just puts an Eben there. That would also be fine. So these are questions of expanding Bona in a case where there's at least the Maisa Binyan or Chibur is questionable. In all cases, there's Hosafa ala Binyan. I'm just wondering, maybe this is Dafka B'Machubar anyway, you wouldn't say any of this in the context of, let's say, you're building up a Kli or a Dabar Talfel. It's quite possible none of this would apply. Yeah?
When you're putting the teeth, that's not between the line? Well, that's preparing for a new layer.
I think it could be different. There could be different cases. That's what I was saying before. I mean, Michael was assuming talking about the top for the next layer. But it doesn't have to be that way. Well, it could be that you put... Sorry?
So the pastures in the Rambam seems to be like a tit is going on top of the Abanim.
And that's
the reason why the person who puts the last layer is higher, even though there's no...
Well, again, according to the Rambam, the tzadein, any kind of mitzadein is only like a patish.
So why would the Rambam say that putting the last layer of binding on the wall right. Is higher because there's no tit coming out from the wall? The Rambam seems to say that if you one puts tit and one puts a binding, the one puts the tit is higher.
Right. That's what the Gemara says.
Right. But if the person puts the last layer of binding, And right. Given the fact that there's no teeth coming up, is he's chayav.
Because that sticks on that's no sin of onam b'tit. That's like the Rishonim of onam achar tit.
So why?
The Rav's not saying anything different than that. That's
so why would he not be chayav in the middle of the construction of the wall?
Because, well, according to the Rambam, the chiyuv, I'm not sure he wouldn't be chayav.
Why would I want to state that outside? It seems like, not give the last layer, but in bar of tit.
Otherwise, any layer, maybe the Rambam thinks that the tit always is the completion of the line, unless there's nothing coming after, so it's not a davar shalom. It's not a davar hamiskayim. But that's the point. Until you finish the...
So the tit is actually the completion of the layer underneath.
Right.
Except,
no. If there's another line of bricks planned, so then you haven't completed the vineyard.
Right. But each time you put another layer of tit, you're higher because you completed the previous layer.
Right. I think so. Simple. I think drawing it from your shop. Okay, so that's in terms of mitzadeid. What about smoothing things down? So that, of course, you have the chabad of rabbis, which we just spoke about. There you have double machlokas. Number one, do the chachamim disagree with Rabbi Eliezer and the chabad of rabbis or not? That's a machlokas rishon that we saw in other issues too, rota and begadim and so on. Secondly, what does Mechabit and Rabbits mean? It's not 100% explicit in the Gemara, except for, sounds like it's Bona. The Yerushalmi says that Mechabit and Rabbits is, anybody know? Yoni? We had it before. Sorry? Dosh. Mechabit and Rabbits is Dosh. That's strange, but okay. Megabit, according to the Yerushalmi, is... Simple? Anybody? Lush. We just discussed it Lush, right? Megabin, according to the Rishalmi, is Lush. So all three cases of Tzadi Hei and the Rishalmi are not cases of Bona. Those they have in common. Again, whether the issue is Hashvoyas Guma, like Bali Tosis, in which case the issue is, the Chiddush is that the debate is whether it's a Gratia, but if you assume already that that's what it is, Ashvayas Gumos, that should be Boda, plugging in the holes to make it, to make the floor viable, for sure that's Boda. Or it's more, maintenance or aesthetics, so like Ramban, and Tikkun of Rivutz Vekibud, that's the sheet of Ramban, and also the sheet of the Tosis Rin, that's important. As for the Tamim Gabshushis, that's the Sugat Ein Gimel base, we discussed that already. There too, the Gemara says it depends whether it's Besada or Babayas. That could be an important Gemara or not. We're not sure. It could be that this Gemara establishes that context and purpose is very important for Bona. Or it could be that just it competes with Choresh, and you just have to eliminate Choresh from the picture because this is a competing overlap, which we've talked about many times. Rashi in Kuchabes of the Beis in Shabbos and Beis Chabes of Aleph seems to say that it's a positive halacha. Bona means the bias of Ola. Basada, it's not called Bona. So it's hard to know if that is his way of saying context and purpose, or he's saying more than that. He's saying like the Mishkan, this is a binyan is limited to certain types of chefzah. Ohel, bias. You don't have that in the sun. That's different than saying, well, it's Choresh, and that's why it's not Bona, or you need Kavana L'Shem Binyan. The Tosfos read on Kavana Menalit projects this idea of Kavana L'Shem Binyan very strongly. Here's the other perspective. Okay. What about Godelas? So that's Ba'ada. So again, do they argue in the Gemara? Rabbi Elazar ben Chachamim, not clear. Yerushalmi actually rejects Megabein and Mechabein and Rabbeitz, but does seem to accept the halacha that Godelas is Bona. The Rambam, on the other hand, accepts Megabein is Bona, but omits Godelas. Moreover, the Rambam thinks that Bab is Mursa, the Sugya of Zayin and Aleph, which according to some Rishonim, today is Rashi, according to some Rishonim is Bona, so that's Bona Ba'odam. They also quote Vayiben Asatzela. The Rambam, of course, says that that is Makom Patish, as we discussed, Perek Yud Halacha Yud Zayin. Some people use that to get out of the problem of Lashem Tzricha L'Gufo for the Rambam. In fact, that's Makom Patish. The point is that the Rambam does have a Megabin, Ochlin, but he doesn't seem to have Bona Ba'adam. And the Rishonim, as you say, says, either. Again, the Rambam in Parak Zayin Halacha Vav has a strong formulation of Megabin being almost like a classic Bona. So again, maybe opposite perspectives or tendencies in Yerushalmi and in the Rambam on these issues. Halkeach Chala V'nasam Toch Kiva K'nei L'chatzo as the Chayim Shem told us Borer the Gavno the Aso Gavina Chayim Shem Bonish Chala V'kabetz Chelek Al Chelek the Dabba Kakol Ad Shiyasa Gufechad Areza Dome L'binyan. That's a strong formulation. The Rambam quotes this in Perek Zayin. Again, before he's actually listing each individual malacha. So the Rambam is giving, not only does he paskin begabin, unlike the Yerushalmi, his bona, but he's giving it prominence. Pirush Mishnayos also, he gives it some prominence. The Pnei Yehoshua, Adaf Yubeis and Aleph and Beitza, ask the question, says, let's say you're Megabin and you want to eat the Gvina. Reasonable circumstance, right? You're not just, you know, interested in admiring your Gvina, you actually want to eat it. So the Pnei Yeshua says, so shouldn't that be Bona Omanas Listor? Okay? That's an interesting question. It seems that it's wrong. I mean, there's something wrong with it. I mean, the Pnei Yeshua knew there's something wrong with it too. But what's wrong with it? Right. So again, it's not Zorea Omanas, you know, Lakor Sahashrasha. Okay. But there's no, you know, when you're bonus something, Omanas Listor, so or you're Zorea Omanas Lakor Sahashrasha, so the point is you're not serious about what you do. But Megabin, that's what Megabin is, and Megabin is L'shem Gvina. So yeah.
You'd be saying that Zorea Omanas eventually
pull
that
here.
Right. Also
be Zoraya Omanas Lakar. Oh, except there's no reason you can't have a Zoraya Omanas Lakar Sazera. The whole the essence of Zoraya is it's Gidol. Let's say you were Zoraya Shalola Gadra. That's not comparable. Right. I'm saying something with Bona, so the opposite of Bona is Soser. So if you're Bona Omanas Listar, maybe that's a problem. Zoraya Omanas Lakar. It's not a problem.
To eat it, you have to be okay.
Exactly. But if I want to be over before the Hatnum, if I want the comparable case in Zoraya is Amanas, is Lakar Kodam Ashrasha, meaning I put the seed in the ground and I don't even really want it to grow. I don't want it to catch. I don't want there to be any Klika Sazera. Meaning I don't want the nutrients of the ground, right, to affect the Zera, I just wanted to be about, like, to use the language of the Gemara, Kemudach Bekabra.
What's the equivalent of Kudas Zera?
Bona. You know what?
In the case of Megabin.
No, so that's what I'm trying to say. If you look at it from, that's exactly the point. If you look at it from the perspective of the Malacha, what's the Malacha?
Bona.
What's the opposite of Bona? What's the undoing of Bona? The steward of Bona?
Oh, you mean making it back into the way?
So, Sarah.
So in this case, would not be eating the cheese, it would actually be taking it into its component parts.
Exactly, so I think that's the answer. In other words, the question is based on the assumption that, it's not a bad question, I mean, we know there's something wrong with the question. The trick is to figure out what's wrong with the question. The answer is if you were to isolate the Shei Malacha, say, oh, this is Bona, if a person's Bona Manas Lister, that could be a problem. In general, is Bona Manas Lister a problem, by the way? Yeah? Exactly, when we did, you know, when you did the issue of Zoraya Manas Lakar, Pnei Kashrasha, so the Mechaz Chinuch was mistaken about that. right? What if you are bona nasus? So that itself's the question. But the point would be that even then, so number one is a question, because it's maybe this isn't the top one. This is a time for bona. Ace live no space. This one, right? It's also ace lakar sanatua. But lakar sanatua is not looking at shrasha, right? So the point is that from a malacha point of view, at least in light of the chasina, not that question. But the point is that megadein is a malacha of bona, and therefore it's so sir. But to really undo it in the sense of not just the shame malacha, but the process, you'd have to be, you know, megadein the shame, you know, to reverse the gibor.
That seems right, but even without that, this would be like lachar shrashim.
It would be?
Even if you could decompose it chemically, it was already equivalent of hashrashim. Like it formed the thing.
I mean, if you could turn back the hashrashim, it's different than if you never took place. Takes place.
So
no, I'm saying, compare, forget about that.
And undo it.
No, I'm saying, let's compare it to live now, bone now, but not sleep. That's why I said, I think it still has to be only a problem if you hold like that view in the Minchas Kiva.
Right. Bone now, but not sleep. I don't totally get the Minchas Kiva if we're using an analogy to Zoraya and
being. Oh, okay, fine. I agree.
Wait,
that's why he's going to stop making
sense. There's no point of no return.
Right. This is in a tenet. It still is Bandu. You're not going to say that wasn't Bandu.
Right.
To say that the Akira Sashrasha means that Ligoy Lusot, there's no Zriya,
right.
Like we discussed, Bisho and Zriya. You know, is it Akira or just it's all Tanai, then it depends on those formulations. But Bonev, the Soser, so what? Right, that's what you're challenging. But all I'm saying is, once you accept the equation of Bonev, the Soser, so is that true in the Gabin? It's an additional element, and that's, you know, good. From a Malacha point of view, say, oh, Bonev, Megabin, Bonev. You know, without eating, so there. You know, but because again, because the structure, the beauty, the beautiful gemina that you formed is no longer, you know, in existence. But obviously, that's the point that we're trying to make. The interesting thing is that the Gilyone Hashas, if I recall correctly, the Rebbe of Engels, Haros on the Daf. So I think he says. I think he quotes this from Yeshua, or somebody who asks the same question, and he has a different answer. He says, it goes back to what we spoke of before, he says, well, Megabe may be bona, but Gvina is not a binyan. As we spoke about this before, right? Certain things might be bona, in the sense that it's kibu, it's like the Rambam's own formulation in Parag Zayin, right? It's, you know, kibu, it's chalakim, but would you say that Gvina is a binyan? It's hard to say that. What?
Sounds like Rabbi Avraham ben Rambam.
Like
Rabbi Avraham.
Okay, but you know, this may even be, that might be an obvious toldos thing. I don't know if this is an obvious toldos thing, or it's that there are different aspects to bone on the Abba level as well. You know, Rambam, are you talking about the Rambam that we are, the Gedulei Karka one you're talking about? I guess there's a parallel to it, but I don't know whether it's a din in Abba Toldo or not. That's all I'm saying.
Because what I would use to suggest is that any case which doesn't match the klal of the avos that it has to be bona shalom and asista, we would classify as toldo.
That's something else, but he's not saying that. He's not saying that, bona shalom asista is limited to the av.
Even the nature of cheese is not the same thing as nature of
a bina. No, he's saying more than that. No, that's what we were saying a second ago. Meaning it's true that bona, then begabin is bona, but it doesn't mean that the cheese. That you're going to, they can only translate it and then, so this is its bona, this is its soser, and that's the issue. That's what we were saying a couple minutes ago. The Rabbi Yosef Engel is saying something different. He's saying that in Melech's bona itself, there are still generally two dinim. These two dinim could be in the av, it could be across different toldos too, as far as I know. One is Maisa binyan. There could be a Maisa binyan without a Chatzishal binyan. And the din of, he's being Mechadesh, that the din of Bona or Manas Listar being a problem is only a problem when the binyan is due not to the Maisa binyan, but to the Chefza binyan. Or Maisa Bona, but the Chefza binyan. That's his idea. Which I think is very interesting.
The question of the cheesy, Bona and Listar, you build a house in order to destroy it.
Right.
So
kind of perverse, but.
Yeah, but I mean,
You know, people get their kicks in different ways.
The point is that...
You know, they want to destroy these stadiums, you know.
Right.
With these big wrecking crews. You know, more people come, they come to the games.
But you're saying that you created this entity of this house,
right,
and now you want to destroy it as a house. You don't just want to separate it into its component parts. You just want to destroy the house.
Right.
So.
Or maybe not. Maybe you want to destroy. Maybe you want to. Yeah. Would it make a difference?
Well, what if you want a house?
You want the door. You want the window. You want the. But of course, it's crazy to build it for that reason.
Of course, it's completely not crazy. But if you want a house, in order to be able to destroy a house, not in order to be able to take apart a house and destroy a house, then wouldn't that become cultivating cheese going to it?
Well, I don't think we need to go that far, as we said before, because the point is that there's no steer between the eating and the megav. That's the reason that you...
Well,
the reason that you make cheese is because you want to eat it.
When you digest the cheese, you are separating into its component parts.
Right, all I'm saying is, if you were interested in the component parts, then you didn't have to build the house, right? You can make a door, you can make a window, you can make a...
So now that the person is interested in destroying the entity of a house,
right,
would now be higher, even though it seems like Bonal must destroy, but really, he's being Bonal and has to have a house. If you can destroy the house, he's not being Bonal and has to take it back into the component parts.
You lost me in the last point. All I'm saying to you is, let me just say what I'm saying, then you'll tell me again. Okay.
That's more important.
If the Gabe, I want to hear yourself say, but I'm saying in the Gabe, if you broke it down, you said Gabe equals, and then you said eating equals, you could have bone of the soul there. And then you could ask this question structurally.
Right.
But the point is that, you know, you're never going to say that eating the cheese is a steward of making cheese. You make the cheese in order to eat it. Now, when you don't build a house, I understand what you're saying. Maybe there's a difference between building a house because you want to destroy it or building a house because you want the component parts of the house. I'm just saying, but you can always build a component. You can't build a house without building the component parts. It's not as if there's some mystical or magical, you know, you spell that you know, the house pops up and then you can take its first parts. You build a house by building the parts. So right. You can just build the parts. You don't need to break them.
So in a movie sequence,
let's say you want
to create an object which you will then destroy.
What? Sorry?
As soon as in a movie sequence, they create an object. They create an object. They create a model house.
But they don't do it to destroy it. They just might at some
point. Where the whole point is for a scene where it has to be destroyed.
Let's say it'll be the following afternoon. Let's say you are going to live in a house.
Right.
So it's worth it for me to build a house that you can live in, so that they can then destroy it and sell off the component parts.
Okay.
Because on eBay or whatever, they're going to pay me 5 times as much. Your door, your window, your foyer, your...
If I build a house in order to say I'm trying to claim interest money, I'm not doing it in order to get a good house. I'm doing it in order to have a house.
Right.
So there's no steering.
So there could be nothing in these cases. They're all... They're
but the given house will take a different approach. You would say... Right. And now you build a house... And it has Shem Binyan.
Right. If Binyan on the last list is a problem. But either way, you can always raise the question, if there's some advantage to building something where the stira that comes afterwards is somehow an enhancement.
But
that stira, whether it's on the last list knows, or the Macombo and so on.
Right.
Although that's parallel, I think it's a good parallel. But it's a little different. Here we're talking about Binyan Almanas Listor.
Right.
There we're talking about Soser, Shalom Almanas Livnos, or Almanas Livnos Yoser Mimashaya, or Bimakomo, on a skill level as well.
Right.
And what I'm saying, let's say you have a celebrity, you know, I'm going to build a house, so you can do it for 10 minutes, and then I'm going to sell off the parts. Right? So, wow. And we're not even talking about Kilkul and Tikkun. Is that Bonin? Right. And the other you still might say, but Bona means Dabar Miskayan, and that's not a Bona though. And the other, so then your point of, well, if I'm going to knock it down because I want everybody to come, you know, building the house, and then we're going to have the wrecking crew and everybody will come and watch it, oh, that's going to be great, we'll sell tickets. Okay, that's one thing. On the other hand, if I'm building it, and then I'm going to use the constituent parts for some reason, as I just gave a potential example, that's different. You want to be the colleague. So in one case, it's a steer, and that's not what Binyan is. It might be selling tickets, but that's not Binyan. In the other case, it is Binyan. It's Binyan the parts. So why not build the parts straight? Yeah, just because by building them, it's part of a home. It gives greater stature to the parts for whatever reason. So there, I think that I haven't seen these cases in the Achronim, but depending on what, maybe not surprisingly, but the point is that depending on which model we're using here, you know, is it that anything that's like bona monasilis, or what's the issue here? Is it the permanence of it? Is it the that you've accomplished something, you haven't just completely reversed it? I'd say that would be very important in different cases.
What
did
the Gemara just say about the Godelis?
About the Godelis? I think anything. I think that also is not a binyan. And I think with the interesting about Gilgamesh is you can have a bona without a binyan, and certain halach, then you have to weigh, which halach is dependent on. And there being, again, like the Ramban, I think, in a way it fits into some of the perspectives that we saw before about Mechubar. What's the sketch? Okay, so we've seen certain perspectives. In terms of Adam, we've seen about Smurs and other things as well. What about Kalim? So Kalim is a tricky business. I guess we'll have to finish with Kalim next time. But you have the number of sugyas. Sugyas based on Afin Alephon based on Basin Ba'alev. Seems to be, and Chav Beis. Seems to be talking about Kalim that are made of constituent components. Menorah Shokulios. And in those cases, possibly or probably, Belimai Se'umah. Anybody can do it. Anybody with a little instructions and a hammer. Maybe you don't even need a hammer. Maybe you don't even need the instructions. Well, what is my Se'umah? That's a question. It's not right. Does it mean you need tools? Does it mean you need instructions? Does it mean anybody can do it, or somebody only with experience can do it? That's a separate question in general, what is my Se'umah? But I think these are all possibilities. But the Sugyan Beitza, Yudalef and Beis, and the Beis of Yudalef, you have Skifas Menorah of Chulios, and you have the Trisim, that's the Beis Hillel Beis Shammai case. Then you have the Sugyan Shabbos called Beis and the Beis. Then, according to some Rishonim, that's Menorah Shel Chulios B'Maisa Uman, where you need Tkia, you have to force it in. I don't know if it's the British brick building art. But the point is that you have to, you're using pressure, obviously. And it is a ma'aseh uman, you have to bang it in just the right way. Otherwise, you're not going to be happy with the results. Then you have the sugyan of Ayin Dalet Amud Beis, which is Yitziras Cheftza, Yitziras Akli, from, I would say Yesh Me'ayin. It's not a Bria, but it's a Yitzira. So it's Yesh Me'yesh. But the point is, it's a new, completely new object. Right? Is that considered bona? Tanur, etc. And then you have a sugin erubin, lamadalim based on the hamadalim, a big doll, a big, big, huge kli. Doesn't matter the size of the kli, the fact that it's not a dabra metalikal, or any alpidin, let's say it's mem sa'ah, even. It's not a chubar, it's a karka, but it's not a regular kli either. So what would happen in all those cases? Then you have some of the cases in Gemara itself. Here, just finish up this Gemara. Ayo Sufsa, Peter Gemara, and Nates, and the neck of Lul Tan Golim. Go ahead. Yeah. So in all these cases, Rav asks that it's bona. It's an interesting argument. And Shmuel says, no, of them, it's Makar Patnish. It's hard to know whether Machlokas is about Bona, Makar Patnish, or both. I'll speak about it next time, too. The Rambam Paskins, like Shmuel, in these cases, that it's Makar Patnish, not Bona. Yeah. Well, the Lul.
Yeah.
As I mentioned, the Bagan Avram. Yeah. The Lul is the Machlokas, is a steer, right? And that's what the Bagan Avram says, potentially it's Mechubar, or it's a Kli. Very important. The Rishalmi has these cases by and large as bona, not as makom patish. That's very important. Tzartzura also, and minapeach kliskuchis, right? The glazier, the person who you blow the glass, right? So according to the Rishalmi, these are bona. According to the Babli, these are makom patish. Okay. So what's going on here exactly? Okay. So this is the issue, of course, of Yeshu Ein Binyan V'Kelim. There are some Rishonim, like the Tosfos Rid, the Rashba, the Rashba, the Ritva, and Eruvin, who suggest that the issue of Binyan V'Kelim is linked to the question of Binyan Ba'adam, Uba'ucha, Begabein, Godeles. There's a connection between them. So according to them, it's not a din in Kelim, it's a din in anything but Mechubar. Other Rishonim seem to think, no, the issue of Bona B'Kelim or Binyan B'Kelim is separate. So when it comes to Binyan B'Kelim, we have, I think, two, broadly speaking, two perspectives. And with this, I'll have to end because I have to run to the other building. One is that either you hold Yesh Binyan B'Kelim or you hold Ein Binyan B'Kelim, and that's the end of the story. That's possibly the view of Rashi, Ben Hananel, the Uraim, the Ramban. Now, then it's also going to be a question of how you pass it. But basically, if you hold Ein Binyan B'Kelim, it's across the board. Anything that's a kli is not subject to binyan. There are no niceties, no nuances. That's what it is. Either Gemara does it sound like Yesh Binyan B'Kelim? Yeah. So either you have to say, there's a machlokas asugyas about that point. That's the perspective of the Ramban, and machlokas on kubbeis. Or you have to say what Rashi and Ramban say. Rashi seems to say that a lot of the cases that look like Yesh Binyan B'Kelim are really Makom HaPatish. That needs to be looked at again, especially in the interface between those two things. The Uraim has a very big Kiddush. Anybody familiar with the Uraim's Kiddush? Hear that?
I think we need to say more that when we say they're not using Bona, it really means that it's just not Makom HaPatish.
Yeah. The Uraim holds that there are two dinim. One is whether there's a shame or a baisa bona, and the other is whether there's a chiyu itam bona. And the Uraim holds that ain binyan b'kelim means that you're not chayiv on kelim for bona. But there is a shame and a baisa bona. That's assumption number one. Assumption number two is, this is very important, that bona and makom HaPatish cannot overlap. If something is bona, it's not makom HaPatish. So the sugyas that seem to say yesh, or Yechai Yishun Bona, or Yesh Yishun Bona, what they're really trying to say is that there's no Makom HaPatish. That's important, again, for both Bona and Makom HaPatish. That's the Uraim Shita, very important. This is one perspective, so basically, Ein Binyan B'Kelim means what it says. It just means either, maybe there's a Shem Bona and no Makom HaPatish, or the other Sugyas are Makom HaPatish, or there's a Machlokes HaSugyas. Like the Ramban, there's a Machlokes HaSugyas, which he passed in life, but the Rabbi Hananel seems to paskin like Yesh Binyan B'Kelim. There's a whole discussion about the Rif. What does the Rif really hold, based on the sugyas that he omits? The other perspective, the perspective of the Balamor, the Balitosis, the Tosis Rib, is that Ein Binyan B'Kelim is not an across-the-board principle. Rather, there are limits to Ein Binyan B'Kelim. Depends what you mean by that. Except that the formulation is different. So we'll just pick up on this and try to do it quickly. Just a few more points about Bona, and then speak about Makom HaPatish on Kelim. I'll try to leave Mar Makomos today in the office. I haven't much sort of left him in my office. I didn't upstairs, I tried him out again. So I'll try to leave him in the office today for Makom HaPatish, so we don't have to send him by fax, so they'll get here. Okay.